All right, take your Bibles, turn to James chapter 2. We are going to continue our study on faith, and this just may be the most important lesson on faith I have brought yet. I don't know that I can place an importance value on them. If I were, this would be right near the top, if not the top. And I think if you'll listen tonight, I can help you. This is a little bit doctrinal. It's very extremely simply practical. And if you'll listen, follow with me, and I hate using this term, but follow with me spiritually listening, it will help you. All right, here we go. James chapter 2, we're going to start reading in verse number 17. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, and doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Now look at me. Tonight, I'm going to start by saying this. Man cannot, has not ever been, and will never be saved by works. Period. End of discussion. Man cannot be, man never has been, and man never will be saved by works. Now, works plays no part in salvation, but God says faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. Tonight, I'm going to talk about faith and works. Now, listen to me very carefully. After a person gets saved, our faith that was given to us by God, God hath given to every man, the measure of faith. Now, watch this. It is given to us so that it can produce. Number one, grace has to be planted in faith so that we can be saved. The act of being saved is not by faith, it's by grace through faith. Now, let me help you with that in just a second here. Faith is like the field, or faith is like the ground, the earth, the soil in which an action is planted. For by grace, that's the action, are you saved through faith. You plant grace in faith, you raise salvation. Everybody understand that? Okay, watch this with me if you will. So faith is not an action. Did you know you cannot stand up in faith? You cannot, let me throw some of you for a loop here. Faith is never used as a verb in the Bible. It's always used as a noun or an adjective. Always. It is always used as a, most always as a noun, very rarely as an adjective. Now that means this. It is either the receiver or the doer of the action. But faith is not an action. Everybody got that? Okay, now that's important. Let me help you with this. Let me remind you that faith is not rubbing the bottle and the genie pops out and that genie is God and gives you whatever you want. That's not what faith is. Faith is not some spooky, mystical blindness whereby every desire you have gets met. Faith is an actual substance. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. By the way, that's why faith is always used as a noun in the Bible, because it is an actual substance. Did you know that you can hope, but you can't faith? You can hope, but you can't faith. Now, watch this. Faith is not the action, but faith is always associated with an action. It's either the doer or the receiver of the action. Everybody understand that? I can say, I love my wife. Now, I am the issue there. The loving is not faith. Loving is an action. I can love her, but I can't faith her. Everybody understand that? You can't put faith as a verb. God tells us, though, in James chapter 2, verse number 17 and verse number 20, faith without works is dead. Now, what does this mean? What in the world does that mean? And I'm going to teach you tonight what it is. But let me say this. Let me remind you. Nobody ever has been, nobody ever will be, and nobody ever can be saved by works. It is impossible. Now, here we go. Faith, number one, is only idle. Faith that is only idle will not be productive and causes death. In other words, faith that does nothing, it sits there, not doing, not receiving any action, the Bible says, is dead. Do you ever go by a field that hasn't been planted for years? It's dead. Oh, it might have weeds growing up, but it's not productive. It's just a field. It's just growing wild, nothing productive about it. And God says, idle or not working faith is death. Now look at James chapter 2 verse 17 again. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Look at verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Now wait a minute. What dies if faith is dead? Hope. Sorry. Don't worry, Hope. I'm not doing your funeral anytime soon, I hope. Amen? Now, wait a minute. Faith that is not used kills hope. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. So faith, if it's not used, kills hope. Now watch this. Did you know that if you say, I have faith that God is going to fill the other half of the auditorium, and I'm just going to have faith and sit here and wait till God does it? What's the chances of that happening? Say, what is faith then? Faith is, I believe God's going to fill this up. We'll knock that wall down, put more chairs in, knock that wall down, go over here, build another auditorium, fill that up, build a balcony. And until he does, I'm going out, going soul winning, making visits, helping every person I can help, telling everybody I can about Jesus Christ. And while I'm doing that, I have hope God will fill this building. That is called faith with works. But sitting on my blessed assurance, doing nothing about it, faith that does nothing has no productivity. Everybody understand that? Let me show you what I mean in the Bible. There was a lady who came to Jesus one time. The Bible says she had an issue of blood. And she said, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. She left where she was. She fought through the crowd, and she touched him. She didn't even talk to him. She just touched him. And he stopped and said, who touched me? Virtue's gone out. Somebody activated faith and it drew power from me. Who was that? Her faith to go do all she could do and let God do the rest. And he said, thy faith hath made thee whole. It wasn't her sitting there saying, I'm sick. I've been diseased for a long time. I'm just going to wait till God heals me. No. She acted on everything she could do. And in the doing of all she could do, God then did what she could not do. But when faith is not using works, watch this, it kills hope. How many Christians are out of church tonight because, well, I prayed and asked God for something. He didn't give it to me. Faith without works is dead. Well, I prayed. That's not works. Faith without works is dead. Everybody doing okay? Okay, hang on here. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11 later, not right now, we don't have time. But if you look through Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, Abel brought a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, Noah built the ark. By faith, Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees. By faith, Sarah, being past the age of bearing children, and Abraham bore Isaac. By faith, Moses. By faith, Gideon. Notice every one of them is attached to an action. And notice they did everything they could and let God by faith do the rest. So faith, if it's idle, if it's doing nothing, it's dead. That means we have been given a charge to do all we can and let God take care of the rest. Number two. Faith is doing all you can and letting God do the rest. Remember Mary, Martha, and Lazarus? They sent for Jesus. Lazarus was sick. Lazarus died. They buried Lazarus. 4 days later, Jesus comes. They said, look, had you not, if you'd have come, our brother would not have died. And I just preached on this recently. They only saw healing. They had the faith for him to be healed. Jesus had the faith for him to be resurrected. They said, we did all we could do. He said, good, now watch what I'm going to do. He said, take me to where he's at. Oh, master, behold, he stinketh. He'd been dead 4 days. He'd been in that tomb 4 days. He smells like Brother Mark. He smells like death. They said, okay, we'll take you. He said, roll the stone back. But he just rolled the stone back. They rolled the stone back, and he said, Lazarus, come forth, and out he came. Now, wait a minute. They had faith that he could be healed. God had enough faith to resurrect him out of the grave. Now, they did all they could do and let God do the rest. Listen to me. When a farmer plants a field, he doesn't go to TSC or the seed store and look at all the seed on the shelf and say, okay, I want corn, I want soybeans, and I want wheat, and walk out of the store and go home. He takes the tractor trailer there, loads it up. He gets all the seed. He takes it back home. He plows the field up. He levels the field out. He hooks up the planter to the tractor, puts the seed in the planter, runs it down, takes it down through the field, puts the seed in the ground. Now watch this. Then he says, God, I've done all I can. You have to do the rest. A farmer doesn't say, I'm going to plant corn this year and sit there and go out to his field every day and just look at it and say, okay, corn's going to grow. Corn's going to grow. Corn's going to grow. Well, if you don't work it, if you don't plant it, it's not going to grow. Can I tell you something? Faith without works is dead. You have to do all you can and let God do the rest. Now, that's why, do you remember the story in the New Testament where there was a nobleman who came to Jesus whose son was sick and dying? And he said, "Jesus, my son is sick." He said, "Well, take me to him." He said, "We don't have time. He's bad sick. You could heal him from here if you want." He said, "Wow." Listen to what Jesus said. He said, "I have never seen so great faith in Israel." Jesus saw his faith. Wow. He said, "Go ahead, your son will be healed." He went all the way home, found out his servants were running out and said, "Master, master, your son is well." He said, "When did he get well?" They told him. He said, "That's when I was talking to Jesus. I knew he could do it." He did all he could do and let God do what he could not do. Everybody understand that? Let me give you an illustration. When you go shopping by faith, that doesn't mean you go to the store with zero in your bank account, fill up your grocery cart, go to the counter and say, "I can't pay for these, but God's going to take care of it," and walk out. They're going to come with a padded wagon or with a car with little lights on top and take you away somewhere. When you go shopping by faith, you have gathered what you can financially. Watch this. You've saved what you can by coupons or whatever you do and buying on special, this, that, the other thing. Watch this. You've done all you can. Watch what happens, though. Sometimes you find even better deals while you're there. And God gives you more than what you could have gotten had you just done it and just bought whatever you wanted to buy. So shopping by faith doesn't mean, ladies, tomorrow you sit down on the couch and say, "Okay, I'm going to think through the grocery store in my mind, and it's just going to fill up my cupboards." That's the way most people view faith. I think, so God's going to do it, God's going to do it, God's going to do it. Oh, no. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. Now, here we go. Point number three. Are you ready? Faith is actually able to be seen by works. Faith is actually able to be seen by works. Take your Bible, turn to, let's go to Mark chapter 2. And I've already cited this, but I want you to see it. Mark chapter 2. Look at verse number 1. I'll read a few verses here. Mark 2, verse 1. "And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noised that he was in the house. Straightway there were many gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. He preached the word unto them, and they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four." Watch this. "And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, 'Son, thy sins be forgiven thee.'" Look at me. We could look at Luke chapter 5, verse 20. We could look at Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through about 4 or so. In verse 2, he says the same thing, same story, recorded in three of the Gospels. Four men had a friend that was sick of palsy. He couldn't walk. He was so palsied that he could not even walk. Now watch this. They heard that Jesus was in Capernaum. They took their friend there on a bed, on a stretcher. They tried to get to him, but the crowd was so large and it was so heavy, they could not get their friend in to see Jesus. But they heard that he was in the house. They went up on the roof. They broke through the roof, punched a hole in the roof big enough to let a man down through. That's one big hole. How'd you like to talk to the landlord about that one? Not only that, they took ropes on that bed and they lowered that bed down to where Jesus was in that room. And Jesus looked up and said, "Them fellers are working hard. They have worked so hard, I can see their faith." And he looked at the man that was sick and said, "Because I see their faith, you're healed. You're healed." He didn't say he saw the man who was sick's faith. He saw his four friends' faith. He said, "Because I see their faith," plural. And notice Jesus said, "I can see their faith." Say, what was that? By their actions, they saw how badly, Jesus saw how badly they wanted their friend healed, that Jesus said, "I'll heal him because I can see their faith in me to do that." Folks, faith without works is dead. That story would never be in the Bible if they sat at home saying, "Okay, we know Jesus can heal our friend. We're going to sit here and, I think he can, I think he can, I think he can, I think he can." That is the average person's, average Christian's view of faith. Power of positive thinking. And that's not what faith is. Faith without works is dead. Turn to James chapter 2 where we started. I want to read you another verse. We read it a little while ago. Look at verse 18. "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works." Now, again, nobody is saved by works. Let me show you what I mean. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2. And I can quote it, but I want you to see it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8. "For by grace are ye saved." Now look at me. You are not saved by faith. You're saved by grace planted in the faith that God gave you. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 17 talks about that you're not saved by your faith, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. And God had given to every man the measure of faith. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that faith is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God," watch this, "not of works." God even gave you all of the faith necessary for your entire Christian life. Is all you have to do is start planting action in it, just like you did when you got saved. Say, what action was required at salvation? The virgin-born Son of God, the sinless life, his vicarious death, his burial, and his resurrection from the grave, and the applied blood on the mercy seat for you. And the moment you said, "I cannot get there on my own, God, and I have been doing it on my own. I've been trusting my own works. I'll trust what you have done for me." That need was shown by faith. Watch this. He said, "Good, you did all you can. Watch me do the rest." Shazam, you're saved. By grace, you're saved. Your faith showed you the need of a Savior. Guess what? After you're saved, it's the same faith. And it requires the same type of action. It requires the same type of action. So we show others our faith by we doing all we can and let God do the rest. I've read several biographies of a man named George Mueller. George Mueller was he ran children's orphanages, I believe in England. All of a sudden, it was in England. And he started off with a small one, and then it grew and grew to where he ran at one time up to 11 orphanages with about 8,000 or 9,000 kids that he cared for. And he lived by faith. He had a house full of about 300. There wasn't a scrap of food in the house. And he had worked and worked and worked and worked and done all he could. He finally said, "It's time for breakfast." He said to all of his employees, "Get the kids together, get them dressed, get the plates out, get everything ready, and have them pray." He had done all he could. He got on his knees and said, "Now, God, I've done all I can. We've worked, I've preached, I've traveled, I've done what I can. Now you do the rest." While he was praying, there was a knock at the door, and somebody brought wagons full of food for the orphanage that took care of food for a couple days for the orphanage. He had done all he could do up to that point. We only look at that one part of the story and say, "Well, he prayed and God gave it to him." No, you don't see all the work that went before that. He got them up. He got them dressed. He got the dishes out. He got the glasses out. He got the silverware out. He had the children seated, ready for breakfast, and God provided. Hello. So he had done all he could do. Living by faith is simply working all you can do and hoping God does the rest. Now, he chooses then to either help you while you're working or provide it supernaturally. I can't tell you how many times I've started on a project knowing, "Brother Gus, there ain't no way I can get that one done. But I know God wants it done. So I'll start it. God, you're going to have to help me finish this." It's amazing that while I'm doing it, God shows me how to finish it. God starts providing and I keep going another step. God gives a little more and I go another step. God gives a little more and I go another step. And I just keep on working. Guess what? He keeps on providing. If you don't keep on going, there's no provision. You haven't gone to get the provision. Faith without works is dead. Now, let me give you this last statement. Do me a favor. Put your steel-toed boots on. This one's going to hurt. You ready? Don't have faith beyond your work ethic. Don't have faith beyond your work ethic. Let me say it another way. Don't expect God to do by faith what you're not willing to work for. Too many Christians want the United States government welfare system with God. "Well, I have a need, and you're the one that has to provide it for me." Ooh, no, 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 no. God says you have faith to go out there and work. As you're working, I'll provide it for you. Did you ever notice in the story of Ruth, she went out and worked? It wasn't until she was working that God showed her Boaz. She was doing all she could do, and look what God did. Turned her in to the grandmother or great-grandmother of King David. She did not even plan on being in royalty. She was just trying to go out and do all she could to provide for her and her mother-in-law. While she was out working hard, God made provision for what she couldn't even see in her hope. Folks, God has given so many things to me that I didn't even know how to hope for. Let me tell you an interesting story. I must have been taking Brother Hiles to the airport one day or to or from. And I said, "Brother Hiles," I said, "at what stage of life did you foresee First Baptist Church growing as large as it is, doing what it's doing today?" He just about made me wreck the car. He slapped me upside the head so hard. He said, "Are you stupid?" I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "Nobody could have ever seen anything like this." He said, "Craig," he said, "I don't have as big a vision as most people think I have." He said, "We started with a spring program after a couple years here. And we got to a certain level." He said, "We grew it. In 3 years, we grew from 700 to 700. He said, "I got it all the way up to 1,000, and then we had a re-administrative organization and lost 300 people. That's a church split, by the way. And they were back to 700. He said, so I tried for 800. We reached 800. We tried for 900. We got 900. He said, we tried for 1,000. Got 1,000. He said, I just went one step at a time to where we are right now. He said, who could have ever seen something like this? Nobody's ever seen this. He said, there's no way 40 years ago I could have ever seen this. Wow. He taught me a lot. He said, some of you young bucks have too much vision. He said, just do a little more than you did last year. He said, you keep doing a little more, guess what? God will keep increasing. He said, only God can do this. This isn't man's vision. This is God's vision. Whew. Well, you talk about that was worth the price of admission to take him to O'Hare Field, amen? That was incredible. Say, do you have great vision? Oh, I can foresee things. I can hope for things. I'm just hoping for more folks this Sunday than we had last Sunday. I'm just trying to win one more person to the Lord than I didn't win last week. Everybody understand what I'm talking about? We're supposed to do what we can do, but don't expect God to do beyond your work ethic. Too many people expect God to do by the American welfare system and give them everything. Well, I want it. I'm hoping for it. And God said, get up and do something for it. Matter of fact, God said, if you don't work, you don't eat. I could solve welfare in America. We don't need to give jobs to the Muslim terrorists. We need to get jobs for our people. We won't go there. God wants you to do all you can, and then he often helps you earn the rest. You know, there are very few times in my life where God just dropped something out and said, here you go. My grandfather used to say it this way, the harder I work, the luckier I get. Boy, was he right. The harder you work, seems like the more God blesses, doesn't he? The more you work at your Christian life, it's amazing how much better it gets. Now, it doesn't happen immediately. Did you know that if you go plant a field today, you're not going to reap it tomorrow? You know, that farmer in here in a couple of weeks will get out on the fields and start plowing them up. He'll plant corn. He'll plant soybeans. He'll plant whatever here in just a few weeks. But watch this. Some of them planted their fields last September with winter wheat. It's up about that high. It's been sitting dormant all winter. As soon as the spring sunshine warms it up, it's going to start growing. But he planted it in September. He won't cut it till June. He planted in September, but he won't cut it till June. He will have waited 9 months almost for that stuff to come up. Say, boy, that's a risk. It might be a risk, but it's one worth taking. He knew when he did it, it's going to take it a while. Everybody see that? Okay, hang in there. We're going somewhere with this. You ready? The harder you work, the more productive that your faith will be for you. I knew Dr. Lester Roloff. I wasn't intimate friends with him, but I knew him. I sat down in the living room with him a couple times. My cousin was one of the girls killed on the plane crash with Brother Roloff. He was with us just about 30 days before they went to heaven. Brother Roloff was a man of faith, but may I tell you something? He could outwork most two men. You talk about a man that worked. Man, he had the farms. He had the lighthouse out there. He had fisheries. He had plantations out there. He worked those kids from sun up to sundown. He worked those adults. They raised all their own food. They milked all their own critters. And by the way, they hand milked them. He taught them to work their tails off. And he was out there working shoulder to shoulder with them. The last broadcast he did at 4 o'clock in the morning, the day he died. He came to the radio station there on the property in a pair of bib overalls with his pajamas underneath. And he preached in his bib overalls with his pajamas underneath. Say, what was that? He was up early working. Everybody doing all right? The harder you work, the greater your faith will be. Again, God told me it was time to start Grace Baptist Church. I didn't sit at my house, look at my wife and say, okay, we're going to start a church. We're going to show up somewhere Sunday and there's going to be a lot of people there. And people are going to get saved. Well, we had to do an awful lot of work. By the way, we're still doing an awful lot of work. And I'm glad. And it seems like the harder we work, the more God blesses. Faith without works is dead. Now, listen to me very carefully. I want you to experience faith that is productive in your life. That means to every action, you plant it in faith. Every action requires faith. For several years before I met my wife, I honestly, and I don't mean this to sound strange, but I think I dated two or three people before I ever dated my wife. That's it. I wasn't going shopping for a car. I was looking for a wife. I'm not one of these people that believes you go to every car lot looking at every car, so to speak, and when it comes to looking for a spouse. I looked in the Bible, found out what God said I should look for in a wife. I wrote down all those principles and said, when you're ready, bring her by. I was taking, at that time, let's see, 1987 fall, I was taking 21 hours of class. I was a Bible club leader. I was a bus captain. I taught teen Sunday school class, and I worked in D-teen church. I'll be honest with you. I was tired. Matter of fact, that semester we started dating, it was the 100th anniversary of First Baptist, 1987. Brother Hiles wanted to have a Sunday where we had over 40,000 people in church. And we were going to do some open air meetings, and Brother Owens and I were in charge of having 2,000 people, and we ended up with about 3,000 and over, I think, 1,400 people saved. And we worked every day for 30 days getting ready for this thing. And I mean, I slept less than 3 hours a day for 30 days straight. That's not healthy. I mean, I was dying. I was working. My wife will tell you, I fell asleep on most of our dates. Not because she was boring. I was just wore slap out. She'd say, why don't you go back? No, it's okay. Let's walk so I can stay awake, you know. I'm not kidding. It was horrible. Now, wait a minute. I was busy working. God brought her by. I know guys that all they did was they were looking, but they weren't working. They got a wife, but they didn't get God's will like I did. I know a guy that was two rooms down from where I'm at. He's been married and divorced three times. Say why? Because he didn't do anything for God while he was in college. He was just looking for a wife. Well, he found one, and then he found another, and then he found another, and God only knows where he's at right now. It's not hard to find somebody. It's hard finding God's will. But you find God's will by working hard and activating all of those actions in faith. You see, God said, if you have faith, remember the story in the Bible? Jesus said, if you have faith, you could look at that mountain and say, be thou removed, and it could be removed. Let me tell you something. If you don't have your shovel in hand and start digging, it's not going to move. We read that and say, oh yeah, I can look at that mountain and say, okay, mountain, move! No, get your shovel and start moving it, and God's going to show you another way to move it, but start moving every handful, dirtful, shovelful, whatever you can full away. And all of a sudden, God will show you how to take care of that thing. Faith requires works. Faith without works is dead. Watch me. There are people all over this country and probably all over the world out of church tonight. Can I tell you why? Well, I asked God for something by faith. He didn't give it to me. My feelings are hurt. Wow. What did you do to get it? Well, I asked him. I'm glad. What were your works? Well, what were your works? Not to get saved, but faith without works is dead. By the way, what dies? The hope. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And if you don't have work with your faith, guess what? Hope dies. Not you. But hope fades away. Well, I'm just losing all my hope in everything. Guess what? You're not activating everything you do with faith. You're not planting it in faith. You're sitting there doing nothing, expecting God to give it to you. No, go out and do everything you can and let God do what you cannot do. That, my friend, is what faith and works, how they work together. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Faith and works. Again, we cannot do any kind of work at all for salvation. The only thing we do is plant grace in our faith, and God does the saving. But we can work after we're saved with the same faith He gave us and make it more productive. How are your works? Is your faith beyond your work ethic? Are you asking God to do things that you're not willing to work for?